plummeting, according to a new survey.
The
direction of the country is at 17%, the lowest reading seen in President Biden's first year in office. Meantime, 85% of respondents said they're satisfied with their personal lives. The UN Security Council is focusing on the growing threat of a Russian invasion of Ukraine. U.S. Ambassador Linda Thomas-Greenfield urged Russia to choose a path of peaceful diplomacy. The Russian ambassador accused the U.S. and Western allies of whipping up hysteria and panic in Ukraine. The FDA is granting full approval to Moderna's COVID-19 vaccine. Pfizer's COVID shot got full approval last August. Both have been distributed under emergency use authorization. Moderna's COVID vaccine, now called Spikevax, is fully approved for adults. It retains emergency use authorization for teens and for use as a booster shot. Kamala Harris came within yards of a pipe bomb outside the headquarters of the Democratic National Committee in Washington, D.C. last year. Michael Kastner reports.
That's according to a CNN report, which says the then vice president-elect was inside the DNC facility for about 2 hours on the day of the Capitol riot. It all happened before the bomb was found. The report says Harris got to the DNC at 11:30 a.m. Eastern that day before leaving about 2 hours later through another exit.
Testimony is back underway in the federal trial involving three former Minneapolis police officers charged with violating the late George Floyd's civil rights. Prosecutors are trying to prove the defendants refused to provide Floyd assistance as then Officer Derek Chauvin knelt on his neck. The former head of training at the Minneapolis Police Department is expected back on the witness stand. Katie Blackwell testified last week the three officers didn't follow department policy when Floyd was killed. Forecasters say there's a 90% chance the weather will cooperate as SpaceX tries again tonight to launch a Falcon 9 rocket. Liftoff from Florida is scheduled for 6:11 p.m. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
Muscle Shoes Casino is your destination for food, fun, and gaming with more than 3,000 gaming machines, action-packed table games, and the largest smoke-free area in the state. Plus, the new Muscle Shoes restaurant, Muscle Shoes Casino.
Why does Walgreens offer copays as low as $0 and 90-day refills? Because we care about Medicare, so you don't have to. I mean, do you really care to hear me go on about same-day prescription delivery making your life easier? Or how there's a pharmacy expert available 24/7 and one-click refills? Well, I just did anyways. Fill your Medicare prescriptions with Walgreens and save.
$0 copays apply to Tier 1 generic drugs and select plans with Walgreens as a preferred pharmacy. Restrictions apply. See Walgreens.com/Medicare for complete details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you 24/7, with supplies and solutions for every industry, and access to product specialists ready to help. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show that's coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hey, everybody. Welcome. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. We have a great lineup for you this week, right across the board. You know, right here in my time spots, right here on the Dr. Pat Show, but also on Transformation Talk Radio. Couple things that I want to just reflect upon for a moment. And what I'm so proud of with the network is I'm just so proud of the people that have come forward and have decided to have a very vocal representation about what their passions are and what they want us to act upon. And that is with the three women today, Anita Russell, Gail Hunter, and Mavis Bauman. They are the hosts of their own show, which you'll hear about. But the question really is, how do we get activism through coaching? And how is that a grassroots movement? Now, here's what I want to say to everybody. There is a level of learning that must happen if you are going to be out in the world as an activist. Now, how do I know that? Well, if I look at my own history and my own past, we had a lot of coaches. Now, we didn't call them coaches, but if you were going to do a rally with people like Bell Abzug or Gloria Steinem or Shirley Chisholm, if you were going to be out there with people, these folks had it together. They were able to help you with how to show up in the world. And yet, we are looking at voices that want to be heard and don't know where to begin. And every one of us need to learn some new tools. That's why today we're talking about what it means to develop activism through a coaching model. And these women, these three women today, they have got it going on. Welcome to the show. Great to have you all here.
Great to be here.
I want to start out with you, Anita, and then we'll hop over to Gail and Mavis. I want to just ask you this question. I've done a lot of reflecting on the word activism recently. Somebody asked me to run for office, political office, and I said, you know, that's not mine to do in this lifetime. Mm-hmm. And then they asked me a different question. They said to me, well, what will you do, Pat? What are you doing? And I totally forgot that I have a network that has the voices of all you all. Mm-hmm. Like, I haven't been thinking about what that means. What does it mean to you, Anita, as you look ahead, as you look at where you are right now, right? And you look forward a little bit. You know, what is it that sparks your heart into action in the spirit of activism through coaching?
Mm-hmm. So activism to me is very much related to the word activate. And it really is this sense of activating something different, of being able to look at a given situation and say something about that situation needs to change. Something about that situation needs to be different. And then the question becomes, what am I going to do to contribute to the activation of that difference or that change? And so that's kind of where I come from the standpoint of activism through coaching. That's something that I coined myself. I'm sure it's not like totally original, but it does really reflect the approach that, not only the approach that I take, it also reflects the place where I am in my life right now. So just to give a little bit of background, I am a transformational life coach. I wasn't always a transformational life coach. I used to be a research scientist, and my life has been such an incredible journey, but it's been a journey of me really understanding who I am and sort of molding my identity over the course of time, right? And so I got this research background, scientist. I was the person in the lab with the goggles and the white coat and all of that. And then midway in my corporate career, I just made a very dramatic change and moved into learning and development. And then shortly thereafter, well, maybe 10 years later, I left corporate America altogether and just decided that my life was intended to be for a different type of purpose. And I landed in the arena of life coaching because I could look at myself and say, wow, when I look at the changes and the evolution of my own life and I'm articulate enough and I can connect to people enough that I can help them to kind of engage in that evolution of their own lives. And so when I look at it where I am today from a coach, from an activism perspective, I come from, my mom was an activist. So I grew up on the elements of activism and all of that. It's just a part of my makeup, some of my own experiences. But things really came together for me in 2020, shortly after the murder of George Floyd. One of my daughters and I had a conversation about whether or not I thought that her son at the time was only about 3 months old. If I thought that one day he was going to have to protest in his lifetime to freely and peacefully exist in the skin in which he was born, that triggered a whole host of things in me. I ended up writing a book called Cultivating Change from the Inside Out. From there, I just started down this path of creating this activism through coaching model. So it's kind of combining that activism space in my life with the coaching space in my life. And one of the reasons that I like it, taking it from that perspective, is that it's at the individual level. Because I'm not into politics necessarily. And so, you know, the politics and the economics and the, you know, trying to change the laws and everything, that's not my flow. My flow is sitting down across the table from people and having bona fide conversations about racism. So that's kind of where that activism through coaching, how it kind of came to in my life.
Yeah, I love that. And I want to get to Gail and Mavis as well. I love that because, you know, before I did the show, I thought to myself, that same question I asked myself, you know, because I found myself sort of in a fog, you know, from somebody that grew up like you. And I grew up with a mom that was just like, you didn't even have to say the word active. You didn't have to say anything, right, to her. But I kind of fell asleep. Yeah. And it was the Matthew Shepard incident that woke me up, I think, in 98. But not enough to really do anything. But I love you three because you're doing something, right? Mavis, you want to go next? Gail, we're on fire.
Sure, I'll go next. The word activism is pretty challenging for someone like me. I grew up in Western Nebraska in a totally white environment. And I think if I'd been asked what activism was in those years, I would have probably said violence or protesting or, you know, some sort of physically active fight against something. Now, I mean, working with Anita has just opened up the whole idea in such a different way. I've always been passionate about certain things, curious about certain things, certainly about race. I studied Black studies when I was in college. I've always been interested. But I remember, you know, after George Floyd, a friend of mine, a Black friend, said, what will you do? Same thing. What will you actually do? And that really, really troubled me because I kept thinking that if you were kind of nice in the world and you loved everybody, that was enough. And it's so not. So we layer this, or I layer this conversation for, you know, during Inflection Point on a history of working in corporate America. Then I had a freelance writing business, photography business, I started a nonprofit for genocide survivors in Rwanda. And that really crystallized for me how much we can hurt each other.
Yeah.
We can kill each other with a blunt instrument just to have a meal that night. And I wanted to get to the bottom of that. So as we go through this conversation, Anita, Gail, and I, and then the other people that we're meeting in the process, I'm getting the opportunity to understand what's underneath all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, you know, want to encourage listeners that if you're afraid of the word activism, think about what you're actually doing that may not involve a fight or a parade or a physical protest. The three of us and many more are listening to this conversation and really learning about ourselves and what racial attitudes we still carry for whatever reason, even subconscious. So that's my story.
Well, I love it because, you know, part of what you just shared, too, is that spark that I asked Anita about.
Mm.
You know, that spark that caused the four of us here to have this conversation, right? Mm-hmm. And hope more people will have that conversation. Thank you. Gail, how about you? What's that little spark going on with you?
I think that spark has been there my whole life in some ways. I, from the time I was young, and My family moved me to an area that was all white from a very fairly diversified small community. And somebody burned a cross in the front of a black family's house that just had moved into this very expensive neighborhood. And I can remember at the time thinking I was horrified and that nobody around me were talking about it, at least in any way that was horrified as I was. And so by the time I hit college in 1969 and everything was, right, was all present, I just joined right in and became very active and different movements and protesting and so forth, from civil rights to the Vietnam War and other issues and feminism. And so as I moved into my career as a psychotherapist, I found that that's what I was doing with people one-on-one, helping them get to what was going on within them and help them their own inner personal transformation, personal transformation, to activate what was in their life. As I was doing I walked that talk, as I had to do my own life. And then when I met Anita, and she did this program last year for OMA, the nonprofit that I'm the president of the board for, on transformation from within towards anti-racism, I just kept telling her, I said, you've got to get this out there. You have something that the world has to hear. And then, of course, she invited Mavis and I to be part of that podcast. So this is my part, and because of all my whole life believing that in truth and in justice, that it can change. We all can change, but we've got to change our own belief systems within ourselves before anything, our behavior or anything's going to change. We have to change that within ourselves.
Yeah, oh, my gosh, yeah. I mean, I love it. Three women, you know, three pathways, all weaved in a beautiful tapestry about what you're presenting through Inflection Point and beyond that, and helping us understand how we can be better at stepping up and stepping in. You know, I mean, you know, to quote Alicia Keys, the girl's on fire, right? But one of the things that, you know, that you do is not only are you taking this message out through your show, but you're helping people. You're helping people understand the context of dialogue, of language, conversation, because I think we've gotten to the point now where we're so afraid of not saying the right thing, right? I was talking to somebody the other day, and they're like, I don't even like, what do I say? Do I say he, she, it, them, non-binary, is it LGBTQ or is it LGBTQ? I said, look, please. It's not about the label. What's in your heart? What do you want to say? What do you want to say? Mm-hmm. Like, don't worry about what are you going to call somebody, like a he or she or whatever they refer to. If there's something that you can learn in terms of understanding people, then you'll learn it along the way. But being silenced because you're afraid that you might leave a letter off an acronym or not call a group the right group, that is not what we have time for today. Anita, I want to ask you this, because in what you do in your coaching, in the show, you have outlined an approach to take. And one of the things is that there is purpose and meaning for you to do this show. You ask a question, but you also help us understand that we can get to the choices we make, understand why we make them, and then to understand if we can make a different choice. What is it that you all are doing in the activism through coaching model, and what do you mean when you refer to the coin analogy?
Oh, yeah, that's an essential part of when I was putting all of this together. The coin analogy is a essential part of it. So I'll just kind of break it down. Everybody, we've all seen coin, quarter, nickel, dime, whatever. And every coin that I've ever seen has two sides to it. And both of those sides are very different. Like, I have never seen a coin where both sides were exactly the same. And so I use that sort of as an analogy for the dual nature of life in America, right? And you can kind of look at that dual nature from multiple perspectives. So, for example, because I'm, you know, sort of in this space of anti-racism, I do see it from that perspective, in terms of people of color and our experiences on one side of the coin,
particularly Black for me, and also the dominant culture of white folks on the other side of the coin, and those experiences are very different. Like if you just look at Mavis and me and the way she describes her upbringing versus my upbringing, very, very different. Very different, and to a great extent, different based on the fact that she's white and I'm Black. But I also think that given the space that we're in right now, that coin also is truth versus lies on the same coin. And I think everybody can agree that when, particularly when we're talking about the history in this country, that it's been presented in a way that doesn't fully tell the truth. And so for people like me living in the Black community, growing up, my culture and my language, I know things about the United States and America and how it's treated people way more than a lot of other individuals do, primarily because of the way that history is presented, right? And so I can say I went to school, learned history just like everybody else, you know, but I also was learning history at home, and I was learning Black history at home. So I always knew kind of like, okay, this is the story that is being told, but that's not necessarily the truth. So that coin also carries the duality of truth versus falsehood, if you will, right? But then the third side of the coin is where it really gets interesting, because most people don't think of the edge as that third side, but that's exactly what it is. And so I look at those two sides, and then there's this edge. And from the coaching perspective, there will be some people on one side, and again, for all intents and purposes around conversation of racism, I'm talking about white folks. Right? There will be some white folks who will have the courage, because it takes a lot of courage, to step out of this place and step onto the edge of that coin. And when you're on the edge of that coin, now you have the advantage of having a 360 view. So you can get knowledge and you can get awareness and you can kind of see what are some of those other experiences. But that's not the full story. The difference between people standing on the edge and Mavis and Gail is that there are other people who jump off the edge and they fully immerse themselves into what does life in America look like through my eyes, through my story, through my lens, without me having to explain it or without them questioning it or anything along those lines. They're fully immersed in trying to understand and have a better sense of what does this look like for me. Because when they understand what it looks like for me, that's when we can really start having those genuine conversations that can bring about change. So that's kind of what that coin analogy is. It's the duality, number one. And then there's that edge kind of giving you that view, a little bit of insight, a little bit of knowledge, but you might not necessarily be doing anything with that insight and knowledge. But those people who make that choice to fully jump off the edge and into my experience, that's where the real change can begin to happen.
Oh, I love it. I want to talk to both Mavis and Gail about what you just shared. But, you know, you're right about so much of that. I was talking to Brett Bevel the other day. He's one of our other co-hosts. And Brett has written a book called Healing Racism Within. But he has coined a very interesting phrase that doesn't always get him at the top of the popularity list. He's a white man. Mm-hmm. Who schools people on white cowardice. That's his phrase. That's Brett. And if you want to see bold action, you have to take bold action. But it's not a one-size-fits-all. I mean, if you met Brett, he would be, as with the three of you, you'd probably run into this. You know, he may walk up to you and say, you know, I wonder if you've ever experienced white cowardice. And people may look at him like, what did you just say to me? But you see, I love this because we have to have conversations. We have to have conversations. And silence. And we're going through it again. It's deafening. It is deafening. It is just beyond anything I understand. And yet, I'm like a lot of people. We're lost about what to do. Mavis, Gail, what are your thoughts on that? Where do you, when you think about the, and I love that bit, that edge part of the coin. Mm-hmm. I love that, right? You've said yes to step up here. You know, that is a form of activism to me. The three of you, right? It is a bold move that requires bold activism, that requires bold transformation. That's what you're involved in, Mavis.
You're absolutely right. Anita's made it such a pleasure, though. You know, I keep hearing about the word courage, but she's been a friend of mine for a long time. So we're very comfortable with these conversations. The great thing that Anita does is she, I guess it's part of the coaching mechanism, right? She will ask me, what do I remember at a certain time, for example, in history? And I will say, well, I don't know if I think of anything, because I'm holding back.
Mm-hmm.
I'm holding back a horrible racist experience. And she will encourage me until out it comes, and I'm horrified. But she says she knows a lot of white people, and I agree, are thinking that way, or have suppressed thoughts like that. So I feel that this does take a little courage, especially in the world of social media. We don't expect everyone to agree with us, but we are going to continue this calm, loving, non-debate, you know, this conversation so that we can learn and we can keep sharing it with others.
You know,
did I answer your question, Pat?
You did. I love it. I'm going to go to Gail. But here's the thing that I love about what we're talking about now, because how many things do we hear about that we ignore? Okay. So what do I mean by that? And Gail, you're going to get this right. This is coming to you now. So how many things do we hear that we let just, that got to beef it up, those people over there? Specifically, let me give you an example. We're not going to talk about politics today, but I'm not talking about politics. I'm talking about activism. And I get these pop-up things on my phone. I don't know if you all get them, right? I had to cancel a couple of them because my phone was like going like this over the weekend. But the pop-up I got my attention, and I finally clicked on it. And it said, did you know that in the state of Pennsylvania, that if there were an election today, these 2 million ballots would be illegal? No, I didn't know. And I'm not living under a rock. But whose vote do you think will not be counted? The people that can't get out and go to the polls. The entire senior population that is so used to voting by paper ballot. I mean, and I just thought to myself, can that be true? Is that where we are now, that we're going to keep silencing, silencing, silencing until somebody is just going to say, no mas, right? But if we don't have conversations and shows like the ones you have, we don't even know that it's okay for us to have a chat. Gail?
Mm-hmm. I mean, right. It's like, look at the whole... I mean, not just George Floyd, but even before George Floyd, and how many people may have heard something but then just put it aside, right? I don't know what to do with it. I don't want to look at it. It's too whatever, whatever the belief system would be. And so George Floyd, his death was just so, because of media, was so right there that it was really hard to ignore that. It was very impossible, right?
Yeah.
And it's almost like the repressed rage and anger and hurt and pain that everyone that is black in this country has ever experienced just surfaced, right?
Mm.
Which is good, because we can't change what we can't see. We can't change what we can't see differently, right? And so to do that, you have to have courage to step into that place. You have to be willing to say, okay, I'm not just going to pass over that one. I'm going to look at that. It's like the voting thing. I didn't know that.
It's like a three-second pop-up on the phone.
That's horrific.
I just happened to get my finger on
right.
it quick enough to find out if they were trying to sell me something, right? Right?
So what is this open phone and how many people right? are going to be able to vote, right?
2 million. 2 million votes is not like shabby.
That's not small.
And it's actually gonna progress even further. But then the question is, I want to ask you both about this when we come back. How do we become part of the solution? But before we go to break, three things. One is I have to honor the fact that you have opened a learning forum. See, a learning forum. Because information and knowledge is power. Learning what we're capable of, that's a superpower. See, learning what we are capable of, that's a superpower. And you've set the stage for it. So before we go to break, can you tell us, Anita or Mavis or Gail, what you set up? Tell folks how they can listen to your show and tell them how they can get engaged and involved.
Oh, absolutely. So the name of our podcast is Inflection Point Podcast, and it's spelled inflection with an X. And I purposely spelled it that way because X is kind of like we're in this unknown space right now. We're trying to figure out which way is the arc going to bend. I'm trying to bend the arc in a particular direction and all of that. And I also have my coaching practice, which is under the brand of The Place to Soar. And Mavis or Gail had mentioned, or maybe they both did, a workshop and a mastermind. So I do workshops and masterminds that specifically focus on racism and anti-racism. So I look at myself in that space of the work that I'm doing. My ultimate goal is to eradicate racism, and so that's kind of the space that I live in. But I don't exclusively focus on racism. I also do personal transformation in my coaching practice as well.
Wow. How do we find out any or all of the above from both Mavis, Gail? Anything you want to share? And please tell people how to listen to the show.
Yeah, we are on Transmission.radio every first and third Wednesday of the month, and you don't want to miss it. It's just a dynamic thing that we're doing here.
Yeah. We're going to go to a short break. I want to leave everybody with this because you all have emailed me about talking about Mary Louise Smith, one of my greatest mentors, just an amazing woman, African-American, amazing woman. Never got anywhere, walked in the rooms, puffing on a cigarette, taught me how to put on lipstick. She really did. But I walk in a room, and before I open my mouth, Mary Louise Smith would say to me, like this, what part of the problem are you? Now, that is the last thing you want anybody to ask you when your world is on fire. Everything is coming down around you. Your job is coming apart, and your boss says, what part of the problem are you? When we come back, do you know what part of the problem you are? Because if you do, you're going to be able to create an exquisite solution. Take a short break. We'll be right back.
Are you ready for the real results you want? Don't miss the new show, Why Wait? Look better, feel better, be your best from the inside out. With me, Georgette LePage. Join Dr. Pat Basile and me monthly to tackle topics that are often seen as roadblocks to weight loss. Each discussion offers you practical solutions for your transformational changes. Find out more about show dates and times, or connect with me directly at georgettelepage.com.
Welcome to Soul Activation Podcast, a world-class broadcast of insight and inspiration with the renowned healer and coach, Suzanne Alexandria. In this series, she dives deep into the magical sea of you, to the place in you that's ready to activate. Tune in live every second and fourth Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
In a roundabout of dysfunction, stop circling around difficult issues and find out what's been holding you back. Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Aubert. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Aubert. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyaubert.com. That's drkathyaubert.com.
Are you ready to put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharge phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889-1757. Make an appointment today or go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says Recovery Recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
I'm Mary Jane Mack, and I'm excited to tell you about the latest technology. It is new to this country, and it's just amazing. Out of Germany. The Healy is state-of-the-art technology for improving and changing the body vibration. I have more information about the Healy on my website, MaryJaneMack.com, or you can call the office at 888-777-4232.
Welcome back, everyone. Great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. What a great show. I want to make sure you all know that we're talking about activism through coaching. It is a grassroots movement. It always has been. And we need to be reminded that that's the deal. We need to be reminded that grassroots movements are the things that take the people that govern us into a level of information and knowledge to make sure they know that we're watching, to make sure they know that it's not okay to take away voting rights. But right now where we are is we have to be the people that takes what's in our hearts and do something. I'm going to tell you something, and before I do, I would love for you to mention again, how do they find out about you all? How do they listen to your show? Anita, you want to do it?
Sure. As I mentioned, my brand is theplacetostore.com. The podcast that we have on Transformation Talk Radio is Inflection Point Podcast, and that is Inflection with an X. And we are broadcast on the first and third Wednesday of every month at 6 p.m. Eastern time.
Awesome. Look, there are many things that we could talk about what we're seeing. There are many things that we could say, this is not true, that is not true, this is, I love the whole coin analogy. Mm-hmm. I love it. But we can be part of the solution. I saw what's happening. I come from a trucker family, so the whole deal with the trucking thing, the trucker people, it's just right here. You know, my dad owned a trucking company. We grew up in that environment. Probably the first wheels I ever had my hand on was an 18-wheeler, right? And I haven't been involved with what's happening in Canada, but it has now come here. In the middle of Everett, protests down the streets, right? But see, this is what a movement is made from. Now, whether you agree with them, whether you agree about what their truth is, whether you agree about are they fighting for the right thing, do we have the right problem, is there a solution, that's not my point. Somehow, they're out there on the streets with a whole bunch of signs and a whole bunch of those mega horn things, and they are getting attention. So my question is, they have come up with the only solution that they felt was in their control to have. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
From where we sit here, what I've observed is that, you know, are they peaceful? Well, they're vocal. They're not taking guns into their state capital, but they people are marching with signs, doing something because they believe in it. I want to ask, where do we find a solution for this? Because we just are getting real silent about stuff. And to be honest with you, I don't really know what the solution is. So I'm going to hit you up, Anita, first.
My response, whenever people ask, like, what do you think the solution is? So when I think about this awesome goal of eradicating racism, that is big and it's complex and it's multi-layered and it's got all kinds of elements related to it, right? But the way I see it is, if you look at it like the spokes on a wheel, you know how you have the central part of the wheel? That is eradicating racism to me, is that central part. But then you've got all these spokes that are coming off, all of these different pathways. So the way I see it is, my pathway is one thing, because I'm in the activism through coaching model, and I'm, you know, sitting here and I'm engaging with people and having conversations and helping them to go through this process of critical self-reflection to find out what are those things that are buried inside of me that are actually contributing to the problem. So that's my path. That's my strategy, because that's based on what I know. I'm not the person that's going to go out and run for office.
Yeah.
If there are people out there who want to eradicate racism, and that's their path, is to go out and run for office. So yeah. I look at sort of the problem or the goal that we're trying to get to, but there's all these different paths that are all coming towards that thing. So I don't look at it necessarily that there's one solution. I think there's one place that we want to be in, which is the eradication of racism, but the pathway by which we get there is going to be completely different for different people.
Yeah. I want to ask you all about this because it has to do with the mastermind approach. I'm going to hop over to you, Mavis. Anita, thank you for that. When we look back, one of the things I will tell you from my own personal experience, there were mastermind groups happening to create the kind of change we really saw in the 60s and 70s. Now, we didn't call them mastermind groups. I'm sorry. That was like a new thing, I guess. But there were the same approach. There was a way to bring people together in a strategic direction, right? That's what corporations call it, right? But how do we get these minds together to have a conversation? How do we bring them together? You know, when we think about the mastermind approach, what comes to mind for you, Mavis, Gail, and then back to you, Anita?
Well, Anita was the one that taught me about the idea of a mastermind. It's not a part of my lexicon before that either. And then forced me to kind of look at when you take strength as different people, but experienced and educated people, and put those minds together, you do create something better than the sum of the parts. And so that's very exciting. Were you talking, Pat, about how to create change through that mechanism?
Yep.
Okay. You know what I'm seeing a lot now, we're connected with Kyle Williams and a long talk, a whole other grassroots effort. And I use the analogy that we're finding out about a lot of these conversations here and there. And out in the Midwest, we have brush fires, right? And pretty soon right. those fires coalesce, and there will be a movement you will not be able to ignore. And, you know, one of the things the principles I follow in terms of my work in Rwanda, I can't solve the problems of a post-genocidal country. I singularly cannot stop genocide, but I can do something, a small act to eliminate suffering somewhere. The other night I was in one of the long talk classes, and one of the leaders, Kamal, said, "It is so great to see you all again," and most of us are white that came to the meeting. He said, "You could have just not come back after Christmas, you know?" So even to me, the fact that we are there, we are listening, we are connecting, we are learning, is really a big step in the right direction. And these various groups are putting together more tangible acts that people can do. And, you know, it's from a watch party where you share the impressions of a movie together, and then, you know, email comments to 10 people or something. You know, keep taking those little steps. I believe in the power of that. If you don't, you are frozen.
Yeah.
You know, you're just stopped dead in your tracks.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm just going to keep in that vein and watch what happens.
Yeah.
I do not want to be a part of the problem. I know that.
Yeah, I'm totally right there with you. I mean, honestly, I had a moment where I thought I was going to be like a song, you know, like I was going to write this song about it. Just like I had a moment that I thought I was Bob Dylan here over the weekend. I'm not, you know, or Jimi Hendrix or anybody that was able to verbalize, was able to kind of... You know, look, everybody, even you that are listening to this show, that you're probably thinking, there they go again. See, you can be part of a solution. You get to pick which part you want to be, right? But not being aware and not being aware of what is going on that affects you yeah. and your children, that is like Mary Louise Smith could say, that is me being not part of the problem. Gail, how about you? What's your take?
Well, I think that we each have the ability within us to take a step and look in that mirror to see where we are with ourselves and whatever the issue might be, whether it be about racism or it's about the voting, the politics on voting and so forth, is going, whatever the issue might be. But we've got to be willing to take a step and look and say, okay, wait a second, what do I really think or feel?
Yeah.
What am I really believing about this? And where is that coming from? Is it just mine, or did I adopt that somewhere, or were there imprints placed upon me? And it's my responsibility, that accountability, to say, okay, wait a second, I got to look at this, and I got to resolve this. You know, what I do in my practice is help people do the most difficult thing, and take courage to do it, is to look within themselves, to look in that mirror. And I think we all have to be able to begin to do that more and more. And so that I may not be out there, I used to go out and protest, and I may or may not do that now, but this is something I can step into doing. And just sharing what I believe is truth. But most importantly, it's listening. You can't have a conversation if you're not willing to listen and hear from the other person's perspective of what they're experiencing. You know, validation, that it's really when you are hearing what the other person, what they're feeling, you can validate that because you can understand from their perspective. You don't have to agree with them, but you can understand from their perspective how they must feel. That one thing, if we all could do that with that level of compassion, I mean, that would be huge, right? So there are many different things that we can do from all kinds of different steps to become more active, more involved. Different decisions, right?
Yeah.
You know, once you've got that awareness, then you're in a position to decide differently. Sorry, Anita, go ahead.
I just wanted to kind of piggyback off of that, because really what it boils down to is critical self-reflection. When I created this whole entire thing, activism through coaching, one of the other tenets of coaching is that we as coaches don't tell people what to do. Primarily what we do is ask a lot of questions. And the purpose of those questions, and they're very specific questions, but the whole entire point is to help that individual discover what it is that, whatever, if it's an obstacle that's holding them back, what is it within myself? And so from this perspective, activism through coaching, it's all about helping people to go within themselves. What are those thoughts, ideas, and beliefs that I really hold in the core of myself? I don't even know that they're there potentially, but what are they? And the more you are on the immersive side of the coin and you begin to understand those historical truths and those lived experiences, and you're in that space of trying to harmonize all of that and understand the intersection between all of those things, it helps to draw out what are those things inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
Because those things, your thoughts, your ideas, and your beliefs, they show up in your words, your actions, and your behaviors,
mm-hmm.
whether it's consciously or unconsciously. I've had conversations with people just helping them to kind of get to the space of understanding that racism is something you can feel. We can feel that. I actually have a name for it. It's called my internal racism alert system. And it gets triggered when I'm in a different kind of space. Like, I'll give you a contrasting example. The first time I met Gail, I was invited to an event that Oma was hosting. And I walked into the space, a beautiful space. I walked into the space. I was the only black person there, right? But I didn't feel like I was the only black person there. I felt like I was just one of many persons that were there. And for me, that was a testimony to Gail as a leader, but also the other people that were associated with Oma, because I've had other instances where I walked into that type of situation where I may be the only person of color and my radar goes up right away because I can feel that energy. So people kind of think, I think sometimes white people often think if I don't say this, or if I don't say that, or if I don't do this, or I don't do that, that I can hide my racism. We can feel it.
Yeah, everything's energy. Everything's energy. And there's nothing more painful as the energy isolation and discrimination. And I don't care what you want to call it, there is an energy around it, and people know. You know. You can feel it. You've been at the end of it. But you see, what you ladies are doing is you're creating a dialogue, you're giving people tools, and you're enabling us to really take that step forward. I want to ask each of you, I'm going to start with you this time, Gail. I want to ask each of you in the time we have left, I would love to know what inspires you as you look ahead for your show, as you look ahead for the work that the three of you are doing together, and as you look ahead for what you're called to do. What is inspiring you most, Gail?
I think I've always had this knowing and believing in what truth is, and when I don't feel or experience it, it hurts, right? I mean, in any level, anyway. And the truth is, we all come here from the same source. We all come here with a knowing that I'm not better than you are, you're not better than I am, and we've forgotten that. And it's been forgotten because of lots of different history and rejection and all kind of things that is layered upon layer upon layer. My incentive is to really help release those layers so that we all can get to that place within ourselves to listen, to hear that truth, not just from somebody out there, but in here.
Mavis, how about you, Mavis?
Well, I feel driven by the amount of suffering in the world and how many people have no one to alleviate that suffering at all. You know, for example, there's no reason that anyone should go hungry on this planet at this point. We have the technology, we have the wealth, we have everything. So I just, I want to use the currency of my life, the time I have, for the best purpose, the most, the greatest effect on suffering and reducing suffering. I always think about my siblings, how they've stepped in for me when I've needed a little bit of help. And it can change the way you're in the world very quickly. If you don't feel hopeless, you make different decisions. And that's what I've always thought in my work in Rwanda. If people know that they're loved, if they have access to food and education, maybe their country has a different trajectory than it's had in the past. So it's suffering that inspires me in reducing it. Yeah. And my team here. I mean, Anita and Gail have just forced me out of my out of my comfort zone into a space that, you know, has really been a blessing, a time of learning that's just been delicious, really. Really, I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, no kidding. I've actually seen that in all of you. Anita, how for you? I mean, yeah, you know, this word inspiration, I accidentally misused it. I have a tendency to do that. And out of it came a new idea for myself. Instead of inspired, I said inspirited. And that is like not even a word, but I said it. And so it really gave me a new fire, a new spark. But for you, what is inspiring you? And please tell people how they can find out about the show.
Yes, it's my grandson Cairo. So I have two grandsons. One is 14 and over 16, and then the other one's about 3 feet tall because he'll be 2 years old. But when my daughter was asking that question, she was asking me about the little one, Cairo. And every time I have this one particular video that I had taken of him when we were out, when I was visiting them. It was just the two of us on an outing. And I took this video, and everything in that video, as I see him just simply walking through the space. We were outside and just enjoying himself. He was responding to birds. And, you know, just people walking along, and he'd touch the grass and touching the bushes and all of that because he felt free. He literally felt free within the context of his little two-year-old existence. But I want him to have that when he's 12 or when he's 14 or 17 or 25. I want him to still be able to walk through the world with that level of comfort, if you will. And so, yeah, that's what Inflection Point Podcast is all about. Cairo was definitely that spark for getting the whole thing started. I got the idea, and the next thing I know, I'm talking to the folks from Transformation Talk Radio, and then I'm talking to Gail, and I'm talking to Megan, and it all just came together. Inflection Point Podcast is the name of our show, the first and third Wednesday of every month on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Views expressed. expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
Introducing the all-new Muscle Suit Rewards Program with 3 tiers and extraordinary benefits. Play with your Muscle Suit Rewards card to earn points for free play and qualify for dining discounts, gifts, and much more. Muscle Suit Casino.
And good Monday to you. Benny Mathers here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for around the town. We're over on I-5 northbound just south of Martin Luther King Jr. Way around Mile Post 157. A recent incident partially blocking the right hand of the lane. Good thing though, incident response team and state patrol have arrived on the scene and they are taking care of that situation. Stay tuned coming up next. After the news and weather, it's another hour of the Dr. Pat Show being brought to you by the Transformation Talk Radio Network. Yes, it's what's the secret sauce to a satisfying and fulfilling life of well-being. With special guest, Sabrina Wright. NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. President Biden says governors and mayors know how to get things done.
America is one of those nations, I think the only nation, that's come out of every crisis stronger than it went into the crisis.
Hosting a meeting at the National Governors Association at the White House, Biden said the nation must do more to curtail the surge of gun violence and violent crime. Biden also touted the sweeping infrastructure bill he signed last year. Americans are becoming less content with the direction the country's heading. That's according to a new survey by Gallup. American satisfaction with the country's direction has fallen to 17%. At least 21 are dead after recent floods and landslides in Brazil. Heavy rain hit Sao Paulo starting on Friday, displacing more than 600 people, according to the state's civil defense. Pittsburgh city officials say crews are preparing to begin lifting a bus out of a ravine following a bridge collapse. It was one of several vehicles that fell into the ravine when the Fern Hollow Bridge collapsed Friday morning. Meantime, a couple injured when the bridge fell down is back home after being released from the ICU over the weekend. The woman crowned Miss USA 2019 has died at age 30. Police say Chesley Crist jumped from a New York City apartment building and was pronounced dead at the scene Sunday morning. Her family confirmed her death. Crist, a former college athlete and a North Carolina lawyer who was from Charlotte, won the Miss USA pageant and competed in the Miss Universe contest that year. Speculation over quarterback Tom Brady's future with the Buccaneers continues at a fever pitch after media reports over the weekend indicated he would retire, and we may get his decision this evening on his weekly podcast. Tampa Bay Times reporter Rick Stroud tells News Radio WFLA Brady has more than earned the right to call the shots himself.
He's got his own forum and his own timetable, and I think it'll be this week because he understands this is a week between the Super Bowl. He doesn't want to run into that. I still believe it's true. I don't think Tom Brady's going to play anymore.
A new episode of Brady's podcast, Let's Go, with Larry Fitzgerald and Jim Gray will air at a special time, 7 p.m. Eastern. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
For 35 years, DonyCo Pet Clinic has provided comprehensive care for the animals of people in need. Funded by donations and powered by volunteers, DonyCo Pet Clinic keeps overhead to a minimum to ensure healing is at a maximum. Please join Team DonyCo and make a difference in the lives of people and their animals. Volunteer or donate today. DonyCo Pet Clinic. Log into DonyCo.org. That's DonyCoe.org.
And let's go ahead and take a look now at Alternative Talk weather outlook for Monday. Where we'll see mostly cloudy skies and light showers at times. High temperatures around 43, 44 degrees. Tonight, those clouds and light showers will hang around. Those have just dropping down to about 35. For Tuesday morning, mixed rain and snow showers in selected areas. With low temperatures in the low 30s, climbing out to 40 by the afternoon, and partly cloudy skies with a few sunbreaks. Tuesday night, partly cloudy skies, low sound about 30. We'll see the slight chance of rain and snow mix for Wednesday and Wednesday night. High temperatures around 39, 40. A little chilly.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show that's coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you
and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail. Hey, everybody, welcome. It's so great to have you all tune us in and turn us on. We got a fabulous show. What is the secret sauce to satisfying and fulfilling life of well-being? My very special guest, also host of her own fabulous show, Sabrina Wright. Today, we're going to take a look at what this even means. But more importantly, what you should know about Sabrina is she is a holistic health and wellness advocate, consultant, and somebody that has been in this field and worked and has done work in integrated physicians, naturopaths, acupuncturists, chiropractors, and nurses, because this is her passion and her purpose. 20 years of experience, education, thousands of clients, and a focused approach that is always about the whole person, the body, the mind, and the spirit. Today, in addition to having a fabulous show and a great, great way for you to connect with her, and that is if you want to have some of that sauce, if you want to get the sauce that enables you to have a satisfying and fulfilling life of well-being, what do we need to have? What do we need to have for optimum mental health, physical health, emotional, and spiritual wellness? We're going to get all about the three good habits for each of those. Sabrina, it's great to have you.
Dr. Pat, thank you so much. It's such an honor, and it's fun to be here on your show. Thank you.
Let's get at it, because I was talking to somebody this morning, and was an interesting phrase that came up, and it was I'm going to paraphrase. So the person was saying to me, my sense is we're extremely vulnerable to getting off our game for mental health, to getting off our game for emotional health, to get off our game for spiritual health, and get off our game for physical health. We're vulnerable. And if we could learn how to navigate those waters so that we do not let our vulnerability, which sometimes is a good thing, we do not let our vulnerability go from a vulnerability of compassion and empathy to a literal showstopper, game changer in a negative way for our lives.
I agree. And I've been having those conversations as well. When I talk to my clients, they're like, I'm feeling really exposed and vulnerable and fearful of taking a step. And in our conversations, my clients and I, we're trying to work through those vulnerabilities and take a look at the aspects of it to embrace. And when you're really focused on that and purposing to make some habit changes, lifestyle changes, and new choices, I'm right there with you, walking with you through it. And it's purely on a day-by-day encouraging message and encouraging partnership. You're not going to get anything wrong, okay? And I think that's the biggest hurdle people have is when they don't know something, they're afraid of getting it wrong or doing something bad or something negative, when actually it's the opportunity to step into an exploration and an adventure to be able to connect and learn more about yourself, more about others, more about how we can show up and be better participants in our world and make changes and differences in our world.
And,
but it's very real.
It's very real. And one of the things you are talking about today, and I love that you really have shaped this into what I call solutions. We were talking in the last hour about, you know, what part of the solutions would you be? And one of the things you're outlining are habits, good habits that can help mm-hmm. us. I want to get right into, you know, how well-being works. because if we have these habits in play, if we have these practices, whatever you want to call them, habits, practices, if we have them in play, then you can wake up on any given day and have something happen and have tools, right? I was talking to a friend of mine. She woke up and there was a negative $15,000 out of her bank account, and she just didn't understand it. And what was so great is you get to see the fear in other people's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
That usually reflects your own fear. But then what can you do to help somebody with that? You know, how do we work with people to talk about well-being and to really hold on to the faith and the trust that we have a benevolent going on, right?
We do. We do. We serve an almighty God. And the thing is he's got everything under control. And more times than not, when we're feeling our most vulnerable, it's because we feel like we don't have control. So well-being and wellness over the years has typically been talked about in a physical nature versus mental, emotional, and spiritual components. And if we've not learned anything or have cultivated anything greater since, let's say, March of 2020, it is that we're finally taking a look at those other areas of our lives and purposing to do better. Because as we work on mental health skills, as we work on containing our emotional skills, and most importantly, as we rely on our spiritual skills, then everything else will all work itself out. And it does always. It always works out. And more times than I hear from clients, from myself, and from my friends is it works out better than I could have ever imagined. So really, it's all going to work out, and it's going to work out for the better.
I love it. You know, and I want to talk about this in the context that you're presenting to us today, and that is from the holistic perspective. Number one, so important, because so often we leave things out, and they're part of the wheel. They're part of the wheel of life, you know, they're part of the solution. And then I want to start by digging into mental health right out of the gate. Because I know that you are providing us with habits, good habits to help us.
Yes.
And, yes. And let's talk about it. Because one of the areas you're going to talk about, which is optimal spiritual wellness, if I bump that thing to the front of my list, it doesn't mean I'm going to be great in all of the other areas. But I'll tell you. It's going to lessen the blow. It's going to help not get stuck. It's going to help not become the feeling, right? So can
Absolutely.
You talk about these habits you're going to share with us here?
So you mentioned that when you rely on the spiritual component, I agree. It really is the foundation and the initial lens that I take in my life. And it's from the standpoint of what is real and what is true. And when I work with clients, they want to stop the chatter and they want to stop the noise and they want to stop the negativity that's whirring around in their head. And so the first place to start is with a habit of practicing gratitude. Now, all of these practices all work back and actually are integrated with each other. But for the mental wellness piece, it's time and time again, we need to practice gratitude. And when we're practicing and focusing on positive things that are occurring during
unsettling and trying times, what happens is our mental health commentary improves and levels of happiness increase. It also creates a sense of fulfillment and appreciation for what we already have instead of looking at what we don't have. So gratitude creates a positive outlook on life. It boosts our well-being, it improves our relationships, and it builds resiliency. And that probably is the skill, in my opinion, that's probably been built the most over the last couple of years in many individuals, if not all. But resiliency comes from that working, right? It comes from that struggle. It comes from pulling resources that you have, practical habits that you have, and relying on those, that changes your perspective so that you're not focusing on the negative and you're actually seeing solutions, seeing better choices to make, seeing opportunity. And what are you reading, right? What are you grateful for? What are you reading? What are you putting into your brain? What are you putting into your life? How are your relationships? Are you investing in them? How are people investing in you? Be grateful for that.
Yeah.
Another thing in mental wellness is a habit of setting personal and professional outcomes. Have a plan, right? And then work that plan backwards so that being intentional about pursuing your personal and professional growth, set achievable outcomes, and learn and try new things, because this is where we boost our mental awareness by producing a sense of accomplishment.
Yeah.
Also, we improve our self-confidence and we raise our self-esteem. And we're creating, if not even building, a greater purpose for our life. It can be small and it doesn't have to be really big. It could be, for me, this last couple of years, it was about learning new recipes and cooking differently. Because I wasn't going to the grocery store as often as I typically did, which was every couple of days. And I would get very fresh, organic fruits and vegetables and cook frequently that way. Well, I started receiving online service of organic fruits and vegetables, and they would bring things that were in season and many things that I'd never cooked before. So I learned some new stuff there. So I patted myself on the back and I got myself a new apron and I had fun. Part of that also too is, you know, mental health and wellness is about practicing self-love. So in all of that, when we support our friends, when we extend compassion to others when they're suffering, when we become the ear for our friends, our clients, our customers, in everything that we're doing, and accept them as they are, oh my goodness, that comes back to you, right?
Yeah.
In exponential ways and in an unexpected way. So self-love is about treating yourself like you treat your best friends.
Yeah. You know what I love about this, what you share? We're going to take a short break in a minute, and then we're going to really drill down to some of these others. You know what I love? I had this epiphany this morning. I always learn from the people that call me. I always learn from all of you that do a show like this, right? Because we're going to get into this. There's a thing about, I know you're laughing, right? But let me give you an example to think about, and then we'll go to break and come back.
Okay.
So I'm talking to my friend, and I'm just thinking to myself, this is just not right. This is just a person that just lost it and is filing a false claim. And the way this works in merchant accounts and chargebacks, you don't have to have a reason to tell a credit card company. I mean, honestly, you could go to jail if you do it fraudulently. So I'm just, you all out there, just don't be starting to do this. But my friend couldn't see a way out. And it even got more complicated because She never got informed. The address was changed. And she couldn't think straight. But this was not the time for me or her spouse to be preaching about what to do.
Right.
And I had a moment, because I have knowledge of what she could do. I had a moment where I said, you know, I'm not going to say her name, I'm going to say Mary. You know, Mary, you and I share the same spiritual philosophy. And so one of the things I've learned from studying multiple religions, multiple philosophies throughout my life, they have one thing in common. And that is gratitude in advance. I said, so can we right now in this moment just take a minute and let's talk about the power of I am. I am powerful. I will lend and not borrow. I am protected. And we went through this.
Mm-hmm.
When we come back, this is one of the habits. But then I said something to her,
mm-hmm.
and you have to tell me if what I said was right when we come back from break. I said this. I said, you have a couple of choices about your day. You can ruminate about this. Certainly, mm-hmm. you want to make sure you're covering what's going on in your bank account. Or you could take time and break the cycle by doing something that you love to do this afternoon. Unexpectedly break the cycle of fear and worry. When we come back, Sabrina Wright is going to take us through optimal wellness across the board, mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual. And I'm telling you, if you have a situation like this, or you've got something that's going on for you today, or there's something that's getting in the way of your mojo, let's have a call. Let's give us a call right now, 1-800-930-2819, and let's see if we can't help you identify a couple of good habits to break the chain and the shackles of worry, anxiety, and fear. Let's take a short break, everybody. Sabrina Wright's in the house. We'll be right back.
Taught you or your kids how to handle stress? That's right, no one. I'm combat veteran Deb Lewis, and I'm on a mission to change that. My new children's book, Why is Pono Not Pono Today, is set in Hawaii. Lovable characters, Pono the Bull and his friend Kuleana, show us how a stressful situation ends happily. Look closer to reveal powerful ways to handle all types of stress. Start loving your stress-filled life today. Go to mentallytoughwomen.com.
Hi, everyone. I'm Dr. Pat. I'm the host of the Dr. Pat Show. Hey, look, some of us are outwardly successful, but inwardly feel unhappy and living a life lacking purpose and meaning. Well, The Necktie and the Jaguar by Carl Greer can help you discover what's important to you and how to reach out and go for it. For more information or to purchase the book, go to transformationtalkradio.com or go to carlgreer.com.
Join Jennifer Noel Taylor on the hit show Quantum Touch Radio, supercharging your life on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You'll take a quantum journey as well as reveal powerful yet simple steps to create more abundance, better health, emotional and mental vibrancy, and happier relationships using universal quantum touch principles. For more information, visit QuantumTouch.com. Did you know that each Enneagram type has a different worldview, different patterns of thinking, feeling, and behaving? They also have essential qualities that are unique to their type. Understanding this helps us develop more tolerance, respect, and appreciation for ourselves and others. Renee Siegel works with individuals, couples, families, and groups using the Enneagram to build better relationships as a tool in addiction recovery. Visit youarepurepotential.com for more info.
Can you truly say that you know and love yourself? Tony
Tony Cottrell is an author, speaker, and 21-year active duty master chief with the U.S. Navy, here to encourage you to take back your power and live your life with intention and purpose. Tune in to Unapologetically Favored every fourth Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. Walk in your purpose. Visit unapologeticallyfavored.com to learn more about Courtney. Thank you for tuning us in and tuning us on. Sabrina Wright is in the house. We're talking habits. Yeah. This is what I love. We're talking, listen to the language that Sabrina uses. Good habits optimize optimum, good habits, optimum mental health. Good habits, optimum spiritual wellness. Good habits, optimum emotion. Good habits, optimum fitness. I love this because just think about the energy of that, everybody. Sabrina, before we dig into physical wellness as well, how do people find out about you? Can you please tell folks what you're doing, what we're doing, and you have a giveaway too.
I do. I'm very excited to share that giveaway. You can get in touch with me on my website, The Right Balance, WRIGHTBalance.com, or you can text me and leave a message at 360-624-1585, or you can find me on social platforms. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram, Live Good Life Sabrina. So you can get me. You can get me anywhere. So, an email, Sabrina@therightbalance.com. So drop me a line, drop me a message. And if you're interested in the gift, which is I'm gifting a clarity call. So we're going to talk about you and your wellness, and we're going to work on a game plan for you. Find out where you need extra help, where you need to start maybe, or how do you take your current lifestyle and ramp it up some, make it even more optimal.
I love it. I love what you're doing.
Thank you. I think you did a marvel. You talked to your friend in a marvelous way.
Tell me.
I'm grateful for that, for the way that you interacted with her and the way that you came alongside her. You showed her compassion. You extended grace and mercy to her. And then what you said is, let's try, you know what, let's go back to our foundation, right? Where are you? What do you know to be true? At the break, you said the I am, right?
Yeah, I am. I went to the I am because that's just what came to me.
Right.
And that was one of the first things I learned on my spiritual journey when I was at a bottom, you know, a bottom. Mm-hmm. I hit my bottom.
Yeah.
I had somebody hand me a little card, like almost like a book, put in a book. And all it had like I am, I am, I am, I am declaration. As a matter of fact, I have the workbook sitting right over there because I yanked it out.
Okay.
Right?
Perfect.
Just doing that, it not only helped her, but it helped me in a situation I was going through. But boy, that's a good habit. That if we could just all figure out what those good habits are, right? Now, I need your help here.
Okay.
Because if I don't, just because I did it once today, no. Fear and doubt and worry, they are like the trifecta of insidious energy disintegration. So
absolutely.
So you're going to talk about habits. Habits means I got to be doing stuff again and again. Tell us about that.
Well, it's that consistency factor. It's not one and done, not at all. And so with the IMs, with expressing gratitude, it's throughout the day.
maybe if you're a person, I'm not, but if you're a person that you have to have a recipe or that you have to have these instructions, okay, so how many times do I say this? When do I say them? How do I say them? Okay, start with, get a bookmark and write down your I ams, which are the truths that you know about yourself, the truths of what God says you are, and the truths that He shares with you about the relationship He has with you, right? Write those down. And if you have to carry it with you all the time, great. Carry it with you all the time. You're standing in line at the grocery store without your bookmark and say those I ams. The more, the better. And what's going to happen is all of that is going to permeate every cell of your body. It changes your cellular health, it changes your cellular vibration, it changes the energy that you have, it puts a smile on your face, it lightens your mood, it shuts down worry, anxiety, and fear. And when you can shut those down, then you can see opportunity, choices, and outcomes. So, yes, great, do it at least 5 times a day. That's when I would do it. And start first thing in the morning. Once your peepers are open and you're lying there in bed, start right there, right then and there. Be grateful and thankful that you've got another day, and you're going to show up the best you that you have. And you're going to walk with your friends, your family, and your clients through their lives, just like you did this morning with your friend. So let me ask you. You're going to change that pattern, right? The pattern of thought. How else are you changing the pattern of your day today?
Well, let's talk about it, because this is really hitting up what you do. And thank you for doing some coaching with me like right now. I love it, everybody. If you all want to get some help, give us a call. Okay, I'll tell you how. One, those of us that are entrepreneurs, you're an entrepreneur, you're a business owner, I'm a business owner.
Mm-hmm.
We could have the mentality, and I say emotional, mental. When I say mentality, I don't really know what to say. But it's a whole perspective where physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually, we drive ourselves not from inspiration. But there will be times as business people, and please, you talk to people during this epidemic. But we will drive ourselves driven by the shackles of fear, anxiety, worry, and doubt.
True.
And you have to, number one, recognize this. So for today, that was a recognition.
Mm-hmm.
Doubt, fear, worry, was the other one I said. Doubt, fear, worry, and anxiety would have her and me not do self-care today or something fun. It would have us, say, stuck to our calendar, stuck to a situation, stuck to are my people going to be doing what they need to do, stuck to dot, 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 fill it in. But aren't you helping us with good habits? We have to break that cycle, but not by thinking about breaking it. We actually have to do a new habit, right?
You do. It has to be a physical break, and that means you've got to get up and change your environment. Change your focus, and that can be a number of different ways, and you have to change it physically. Change it physically, and to do that, you want to make sure that you're moving. So move your body. So it would be that you would get up and you would go for a walk. I can't tell you how many miles I've put on my sneakers since April of 2020. I think I've replaced them. I have two pairs that I switched through. I think I've replaced them 3 times. And when life gets tense, when it gets overwhelming, when it gets uncertain, and when I can't see ahead or see what's next, I get up and I go for my walk. Thank goodness I have rain gear, because it's been really odd lately, but I have to get out and I have to change my scenery. I work with my clients and we do something physical. So it could be that they're starting a new physical stretching routine, or they leave the house and go to the store to get something, or go to the post office, or walk to the mailbox, or whatever, but they have to leave their space.
Yes.
That break is what has to happen. That physical break has to occur.
Boy, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Because I want to integrate this in. Man, like you're on fire. I should have worn my red today. I had red on, and I changed it. I love what you're saying because you are hitting it on all cylinders, right? You have got it. And that's because you're an expert at holistic approaches. Not only have you worked with people mentally, physically, but physically. You know, you work on people's bodies. So you get a sense of it. But the hardest thing for a person to do is to change a physical thing. I am a master at changing what's up here. But you got to get what's up here into the action that says you're a master, Pat. Because if you're not taking it, I'm no master. If I got it all going on up here and I'm not doing something, like getting my IM book that's sitting right over there, during the break I'll have to get it, but get my IM book sitting over there or saying, you know what, I just put in my, I saw this afternoon, my calendar's pretty good. I get up at 5. I start my day at 5. I am going to take myself and my buddy and we're going to go hit a little white ball. Why? Because you have to break the cycle. There's nothing wrong with my home, Sabrina. There's nothing wrong with her home.
No.
But what is the wrong? What would keep us here? Fear, anxiety,
worry,
right? Fear, anxiety,
yeah.
Worry.
Yeah.
And dare I say, a little resentment. So help us understand the emotional side of this. See, because you're going to help us change some emotional habits. I want to ask you this question. What are some of the greatest misconceptions we have about emotions? I grew up with a family where you don't cry.
That probably is number one.
Now you can't stop me. But let's talk about some emotional habits that we can change.
So
I cry now. We were crying this morning.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Absolutely. I would say that practicing, and this is an interesting approach to managing stress, but this also helps with, and I learned how to do these things from years gone back when I had a very exciting, adventuresome, stressful, and dynamic career in retail. And there was no off. There was no off switch. You were never off. You were always on call. You had extra hours, extra duties. You were always responding to somebody else's wants and desires. So to prevent burnout, I had to find what worked for me. And the first thing I did was the physical component, right? Well, when you start to move, you change the energy and you're changing electrically what's going on in your body. That changes the emotion and it also changes the thought patterns because you've created a physical change. So emotionally, practice self-care and soothing self-care. Now, soothing self-care is different for every individual. For you, I know, it's ping pong. It is. It's ping pong. And I love the fact that you're taking her with you today. And she's going to be able to enjoy your enjoyment, plus it's going to feed her.
Yeah.
Also, too, it's finding activities like journaling, meditation, prayer, other mindful activities like, have you ever gone on a, what are they called? A meditative walk.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yes. That's like walking down the beach.
Uh-huh.
That's like, that would be like walking down the, you know, going in a place where there's something about it. I think this is what you're saying. Correct me if I'm wrong. Meditative walk means it's doing something to quiet the demons.
It is.
Sorry. I don't have another word for it.
No, no, that's okay. It's, well, and I have a holistic health coach friend who calls it the monkey brain or all the chatter.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So what's interesting to that, I do have a particular place, and I highly recommend everybody have a place that when the chatter gets too much, too loud, and so overwhelming that even just any other physical activity is unable to penetrate it, find this place that's your go-to place. I have a place where I walk out along the river out to a wildlife reserve, and I leave everything in my brain on that journey out to the wildlife reserve. And I spend time out there, and I do breathing exercises. I'll do some stretching. And then I think it's like 3.5 miles out. And then on the way back, as I'm coming up to all of the issues or the thoughts that I had, God gives me solutions. God gives me direction. God gives me, don't worry about this. God gives all of that on the way back. So that by the time I'm back to my car, oh, that was so good and so cathartic. So I would say everybody find that place for you. And it could be that maybe you go and you have a special bench at, I know, up there in Seattle, Green Lake.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Green Lake is a great park. Plus, it's you can circle, run, bike, whatever, all around the lake, or you can row the lake or whatever. But that would be a perfect place to go and leave the demons, the chatter, the monkey brain, and go and enjoy yourself, breathe, relax, and move forward on that. Also, too, I love the fact that you are incorporating your afternoon with your friend, because that helps with emotional wellness as well, and it also develops the quality of our relationships. We are meant to be in community. We're not meant to be individuals and solo, not at all. So when we create that strong social connection, there's a sense of safety, of belonging. Improved self-esteem occurs between both individuals and as individuals, that happens. Plus also, too, there's a protective barrier that you build emotionally between you and with each other that can handle life stress. Then when you incorporate fun activities, gosh, there's laughter. There's silliness. There's, again, you're changing everything about your physiology, everything.
Yeah. I want to take a short break, and when we come back, but before I go to break, I want you to tell people how they can find out about you, how can work with you. I had an aha.
Okay.
And it's not a mistake that I had a couple of ahas over the weekend, and I don't know how Linda does it. But Linda, you know Linda, she's my producer, my best friend, and she schedules everything. She must be so tuned in because she'll schedule shows that are literally on the pulse of what's happening, just like the one today. Mm-hmm. I got a text message question that just came in. It's perfect.
Okay.
It's exactly about what we're talking about. I love what we're doing. I just love what we're doing because people will get a little bit of what you're saying, and then if they work with you, they can get coached like this. See, that's the thing for me. I am great at getting that initial hit, but I work with coaches because I need some help to stay on track. I want to ask you, how do people find out about what we're talking about here today? You have clarity calls you do. You have your show you do. Let's give people some information. They know how to get a hold of you.
Okay, so on Transformation Talk Radio, on the second Thursday of every month at 11 a.m., Live the Good Life show will be airing. And this month, February, we're talking about love, all kinds of love. What does it look like? Who's it for? Who do I love? How do I love? How do I know I'm loved? All of that. Also, too, you can get in touch with me on my website, therightbalance.com. You can email me at sabrina@therightbalance.com. You can call me, leave a message at 360-624-1585. And I'm all over social media, so go to Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram. I'm there.
And if you want your own personal blueprint on what we're talking about today, if you want to know what the three good habits that you personally can enact for optimum mental, three good habits for your physical well-being, three good habits for optimum emotional, three good habits for optimum spiritual, you'll get your own blueprint on optimum wellness from Sabrina Wright. When we come back, we are going to be all over the three or more good habits that lead to optimum spiritual wellness. Why? Well, Sabrina's going to tell you why. We'll be right back.
Even though your home base is one Enneagram type, you have characteristics of all the types. Tune in to Enneagram Conversations with Renee Siegel the second and fourth Monday of each month at 4 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn how you can unlock your unlimited potential. Visit YouArePurePotential.com for more about Renee and her work. That's the letter U, the letter R, PurePotential.com.
Have you heard about shifting the collective vibration and consciousness on the planet? Join me, Kimberly Barrett, on the Sharing Love and Light show every first and third Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern at TransformationTalkRadio.com to explore the depth of vibration and consciousness on our planet and learn how you can shine your love and light. To learn more, visit SharingLoveAndLightShow.com.
Can you truly say that you know and love yourself? Corny Cottrell is an author, speaker, and 21-year active duty master chief with the U.S. Navy, here to encourage you to take back your power and live your life with intention and purpose. Tune in to Unapologetically Favored every fourth Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. Walk in your purpose. Visit unapologeticallyfavored.com to learn more about Corny.
We remember a time when you could simply form a thought and it would manifest. The harmony was forgotten, but it is returning now. The Power of Inspiration and Awakening Radio with Julia Griffin on TransformationTalkRadio.com each second and fourth Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific will take you on adventures through the heart and spirit, exploring who we once were. These intuitive healers studied under the guidance of wolves, learning from their wisdom to master a higher frequency for new state of mind. Visit OneTrueSelf.com.
Learn how to lead a happier life on Miles to Go with Brittany Miles. How to lose to gain it all. Join Brittany every second and fourth Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Listen as coach and healer Brittany Miles shares stories that teach you about surrender. For more information about Brittany, MilesToGoCoaching.com.
Does your life often feel like an emotional tsunami where rogue waves crash down on you, leaving you feeling hopeless and wondering if it will ever end? Do you wish to awaken the dormant strength inside of you? Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose.
today by scheduling a complimentary consultation with Martine. Dive into your healing journey and begin to see your life in a new light. Visit MartineEmmons.com and make your appointment today.
Welcome back, everybody. Great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. Sabrina Wright is in the house. We are going to check on this now. Three good habits that can lead to optimum spiritual wellness. As we said before, you can find out everything about Sabrina Wright, and Wright is W-R-I-G-H-T. Just Google her, and you'll get her. Also, what's that phone number for people to call you at?
360-624-1585.
All right. For the next 8 minutes or so that we have left, my favorite.
Okay. Yeah. Foundational.
Three good habits. You can have more, but if you have three good habits that can lead you to optimum spiritual wellness, you will not have to experience some of the really tough energies we're talking about today, right?
Mm-hmm.
Go yeah. for it, Sabrina.
Okay, so the first one is the habit of seeking spiritual knowledge. That is an intention and a purpose to build and understand your relationship with God. And I know that there are many people who in the audience identify God in different ways. And ultimately, it's about that relationship. If you understand the nature and character of God, and you apply that to yourself personally with prayer, by reading spiritual literature, by spending time in the Word, in your Bible, by reading books, like the one that you had mentioned, Dr. Pat, the I Am book, that's based scripturally. If you can do that, that starts to build the foundation, because our beliefs, our values, our desires change over time. But the spiritual foundation and understanding of your relationship with God never changes. If it does, it gets better. The more you understand his nature and character and how he sees you. I think that as individuals, sometimes we struggle with really understanding what that relationship is supposed to look like, because we think of we compare those relationships to the relationships we had with our parents. And some of us had good relationships with parents, and some of us didn't have good relationships with parents. What's really important is to continually be learning, practicing, and improving your understanding of who you are as a spiritual being and what your well-being is when you cultivate a life of purpose and meaning. Contemplative prayer, contemplate your future, contemplate your everyday. Have a contemplation practice, and that's purposeful. You can even incorporate journaling into that. I know that for many of my clients who I meet the first time, they've had a break in their journaling practice. So we get right back to that, and that's a really good place to start.
Yeah.
You get connected to your church. Take a course in understanding the Bible or understanding a particular book or understanding just the nature and character of God. Seek your own personal healing, and that comes spiritually as well. Practice forgiveness.
Yeah.
You know, not only forgiveness for others, but how about forgiveness for yourself? I mean, who's the toughest critic on you?
Right?
That's easy. I know, right? We are. We are our toughest critic. We think we need to be perfect. Nobody else does, but we do.
And then expand your worldview. Another habit is contemplation and self-reflection. So this can be meditation, prayer. People incorporate yoga into their lifestyle and journaling. And all of these have amazing positive effects to our overall health. Taking time to reflect builds self-awareness and self-knowledge and an inner strength. That inner strength then becomes an automatic skill that we've cultivated, and we become more resilient in life as life progresses. Contemplation and self-reflection gives us a better understanding about ourselves and what's important to us and why it's important. What are our pains and what are our joys? And what are the parts of us that need healing and need attention? If that hasn't become really apparent over the last 2 years, even taking a look back at what was it, I think it was last week, 75 million people took part in the Great Resignation. So that to me says people are taking a look at what's important in life. They're changing where they're spending their time, how they're spending their time, how they're viewing themselves, their life, their family, and what they want to create.
Yeah.
So self-reflection. We've got more clarity on who we are as human beings and what we need to live a life we love. That takes time. That takes a purposeful look inside. Some of the things we can do to help us during self-reflection is like schedule it in your calendar. Self-reflection time, you have CEO time, you have client care time, you've got family time. You need in there. You need exercise, you need all of that. You need meals, you need all of that. Schedule it. That should be your schedule, your personal schedule for your self-care should be what goes on your calendar first, and then everything else fits around that. Truly, if you can grasp that in time blocking, I think you will be ecstatically surprised at how much that improves your quality of life. And then the last habit I would say is cultivate a life of purpose. Find meaning and purpose. These are the most powerful and very spiritual activities that we can do for overall wellness. When we feel that our existence has meaning and is purposeful, we're more empowered, we're more centered, there's a lot more peace and joy where we're coming from and where we're living. And this is because the purpose and meaning gives us clarity in our lives. It helps us carry on when things get tough. And it gives us a sense of personal accomplishment and a strong feeling that, you know what, we matter. So regardless of where we find our feeling of purpose and meaning, whether it's in nature, whether it's in our work, how about our family and friends, right? It's also in that spiritual practice. It's in your religious community, and it's in expanding your worldview. You do it when you travel, when you study, when you take care of people around you. Once we find it, we're immediately starting to enjoy the incredible benefit and change in our overall well-being. I cannot highly recommend developing your spiritual foundation first, because once that's solid, everything else stacks on top of it, and that foundation is sure. The rest of your well-being, the mind chatter, the emotions, the physical health, it all starts to emerge and come together.
I love it. Sabrina, thank you so much for everything you do. Give us your website again, please.
The Right, W-R-I-G-H-T, balance.com. And drop me a line and let's schedule a clarity call.
The views views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program, and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
On Friday, Manson Mitchell welcomes Susan Smith-Jones, holistic health educator and lifestyle expert, who talks about managing stress from her new book, Wired for High-Level Wellness.
On Saturday, the peaceful warrior himself, Dan Millman, joins us to talk about his autobiography, Peaceful Heart, Warrior Spirit,
bringing you mastery and mystery since 2007.
We are Manson Mitchell, Friday and Saturday mornings at 10 on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Happy Monday, Eric.